Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. He is always worthy of our praise. Always. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Is that what's been in your mouth today? Well, let's pray and get ready for the word. Would you just pray with me? Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have tonight, Lord, to come and to worship, Lord, to be in your presence and to hear what you would say to us. Father, I pray that tonight through the word of the Lord that your people would be strengthened and encouraged. Lord, that they would rise up at a new level in their faith and live in all that you have for them, Father. I pray that you help me, Lord, to speak your word as you'd have me to, and only what you'd have me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, sometimes things don't go the way we plan. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, sometimes it's just one challenge after another. Sometimes we find ourselves in a difficult place, maybe between a rock and a hard place. That's why there's that saying, a rock and a hard place, because sometimes you get there, right? Sometimes it's hard to see how things will work out. But God is faithful. He really is. The Apostle Paul found himself in a lot of difficult situations and, well, a lot of difficult places. And we can see how that God was faithful and brought him through. He'll do the same for us. And I'm so glad that those things were written down for us to encourage us, to teach us, to strengthen us. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 23. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 23. And let me just kind of bring you up to speed in the story here. The Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and he's been brought before the Sanhedrin, and he manages to get the Sadducees and the Pharisees in a big argument. And we're going to pick the story up there in verse 10, and it says, now when there arose a great dissension, this is that big argument between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them. That's pretty descriptive, isn't it? So this Roman commander, this soldier, is afraid that they're going to pull him in pieces. He commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Now, can you just imagine being jailed for the cause of Christ, being put in prison for your faith? And we know that still in this day and time, there are places in the world where that happens. But most of us, I mean, we might could imagine sort of, but what would be our attitude if we had to be put in prison because of our faith? How would we feel about it? What would be our attitude? You know, most of us, I'm pretty sure, most of us will never know what that is. It could happen, but most of us will probably never know what that's like. But you know that there are a lot of people, a lot of believers that consider themselves to be in some kind of prison in some way in their life. A lot of people think that their job is like a prison, just a dead-end job. Maybe they've just grown tired of it, feel like it's not ever going to go anywhere. Maybe they work with a bunch of unbelievers who cuss and talk about their sinful activities. Or maybe even worse, they work with a bunch of backslidden, lukewarm Christians. And they just think, why am I here? Why am I stuck? Why am I a prisoner in this dark place? And I want to tell you something. It's normal. It should be that a Christian is bothered by being around worldly, carnal people who are involved in sinful activities and curse and do all that. Listen, they should be bothered by that. But at the same time, what should our attitude be in that dark place? Maybe God has us there to be a light in a dark place. You know, there's some who think they're a prisoner in their marriage. Don't say amen right now. Or their family. I read a story about somebody who one day they just disappeared because they moved away from their family and didn't tell anybody where they're going. You know, I've actually heard that kind of a similar story many times, it seems like. But I think a lot of parents think about running away from their children. They just, at some point, they give up on the idea. But, you know, we always talk about children running away from home, but how about parents running away from home? But you know what? There's a lot of people that face some situation they just wish they could get away from. They wish that their circumstance could change. And maybe that even becomes a big part of their prayer life. Lord, I want this to change. Lord, I wish this would change. So they just feel stuck. Get me out of here, Lord. But you know that wasn't the Apostle Paul's attitude. He wasn't praying that God would just get him out of prison. Why do I have to take this, God? Get me out of here. We don't really have to wonder much about his attitude because it tells us in the Scripture what his attitude was. In fact, much of his prisoner is written about in the book of Acts, but also he wrote what we call the prison epistles from prison. As a prisoner, he wrote those letters to the churches, and you can see what his attitude was in Philippians when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." What kind of attitude is that for a guy who's in a dark place? Now, you know, sometimes we can kind of, you know, we can kind of get the wrong picture. You know, we can kind of glorify that. Oh, well, he was a prisoner, but listen, he was a prisoner. He didn't go where he wanted to go. He didn't do what he wanted to do. He was a prisoner. He hung out with other prisoners and soldiers who were watching him. And yet, he had this attitude. Ephesians 4:1 tells us, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." That's how he viewed himself, not a prisoner of the state, not a prisoner who's, you know, being abused and mistreated. And no, he viewed himself as a prisoner of the Lord, that he belonged to the Lord, and what he was doing for the Lord. You know, sometimes we give the devil and the world around us way too much credit, maybe too much control in our lives. I mean, when bad things happen or we feel like we're in a situation that we'd rather not be in, instead of giving the devil control, here's what I'm talking about. We get our attitude all sideways. We get upset with God, maybe. And we start thinking, you know, this isn't right. I'm being mistreated. And we shouldn't give the enemy control of our attitude. Instead, we ought to keep our eyes on God and keep our attitude positive and rejoicing in the Lord, trusting in Him, knowing that God has a plan and that God will bring us through to victory. We got to realize we're not just some pawn being moved by ungodly people or bad circumstance. But we put our faith and our trust in God. Now, I don't know what your vocation is, and I don't know what your struggle is or your situation. But I just want to say one more time, in the natural, you can't get much lower than a prisoner. That's a pretty low place to be in life. And yet, he saw himself as the Lord's servant. Colossians 3:23, he said, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Now, he said that to servants. But did you know that he was in a lower place than they were? And he's telling them, you serve the Lord Christ. So whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. He certainly made the most of his situation, didn't he? Writing letters to the churches that we still read today. That's amazing. That's making the most of your situation. Are you making the most of your situation? In Ephesians 6:20, he said, "For which I am an ambassador in chains." He knew he was the Lord's prisoner. He was the Lord's servant. And here he says, "I am his ambassador in chains." In chains, yes. But look how he identifies himself as the Lord's ambassador. Now, an ambassador is someone from another country who represents that country. And I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul, no matter where he was, whether he was in Jerusalem, whether he was in prison, wherever he was, he saw himself as the Lord's ambassador. What I'm saying to you is that wherever you are, you need to see yourself as the Lord sees you. You need to see yourself as God's representative on that job. Y'all real quiet right now. How do you see yourself in the workplace, at the school, in your family? It's amazing that God used him so mightily from such a lowly position. You see, he didn't just minister to other prisoners and servants who maybe brought his food and water. He didn't even just minister to the soldiers who kept him. But he ended up ministering to judges and dignitaries and kings. Are you hearing me? See, we think, oh no, if you're going to have a big impact, we need the NFL star. We need the big celebrity, maybe some big name actress or actor. Man, they could reach some people. I want to tell you something. God doesn't need somebody high and mighty to reach people. He needs somebody who's willing to obey him. Somebody who's willing to be humble enough to give God the glory instead of giving man the glory. Oh, we got a big shot spreading the gospel now. Read the Bible. God uses people like the Apostle Paul, who humbled himself, who was willing to be a prisoner, an ambassador in chains. And God raised him up and took him to Caesar's household. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Here this prisoner is taken to the highest authority to share the gospel. What an amazing story. What a jail ministry he had in jail. From jail, Philippians 1, 12 and 13, he says, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Oh, this is what we need to be able to say. The things that have happened to me have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And if they don't, you know what the problem is sometimes? It was our attitude in the way we looked at it, and the way we handled it, instead of trusting a faithful God. He says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, God was actually using this whole situation, and Paul wasn't upset about it. I'm not saying it wasn't difficult. I'm not saying that he didn't go through a hard time, but I'm telling you, he was rejoicing because he saw that it was the furtherance of the gospel. In fact, it was through this situation that God was actually fulfilling the dream that he had put in Paul's heart. And sometimes God is fulfilling our dreams, and we just think that everything is going the wrong way. God is sovereign. We look at our situation sometimes and we think, well, nothing good could come from this. But that's not what the Bible says. He works all things together for the good of them who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. I'm telling you, he is big enough. Paul said the things that have happened have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. In verse 13, he says, it was evident to everyone that his chains were in Christ. And none of us here tonight are in chains. Not on the outside anyway, thank God. But we need to make it known that we are doing what we do for the cause of Christ. I say, oh, now wait a minute, preacher. You don't understand. My job ain't got nothing to do with the gospel. Listen, we need to, whatever our situation, you say, well, I'm a housewife. I'm not in the workplace. You need to make it known that what you do is unto the Lord. That you're serving the Lord and that it's all about him and that you want to further the cause of Christ. Don't settle for just a plain old American way of life with a little religion added in. That's not how we're supposed to live. No, we need to see God has something more for us in the life that he's given you. See, he said, it's evident to all that these chains are going to end up in the gospel being spread. And you need to have that. See, if he could say that while he's in chains, how can we not say that in our situation and circumstance? By the way, if you're out of the will of God, well, get in it. And if you're in the will of God, then see that God has you there for a reason. Now, I say that, you know, I really don't mean to be flippant about that or, you know, make light of that. I mean, if you're out of the will of God because you've made some mistakes, well, let me tell you, sometimes it's not easy to fix that. But if you'll repent and turn your life over to God, that you'll do his will, he'll take you from right where you are, and you're in his will now, and it may take you a while for him to get you where he wants you to be. But I'm just telling you, it's got to start from your heart. But most of us, we're serving God. We're doing what God wants us to do. Realize you're there. You're right where God wants you to be right now. And some of you are thinking, get me out of here. No, you need to realize God has you there in that situation with your family and your workplace and those neighbors and for a reason. Verse 14, he tells us that others were inspired because of his commitment and sacrifice. Do you realize that when you allow God to use the negatives in your life as a platform to witness, it brings glory and honor to him? Did you hear what I said? See, it's not just when everything is great for us. It's when we go through things too. And they saw what Paul was going through, and they saw his attitude, and the way that he handled it, and it encouraged them. It strengthened them so that they would share the word boldly. And I just want to tell you, we go through negative things sometimes. It's a really negative thing for Carmen going through this chemotherapy. It's a big negative. It's no fun. But because of the way that she's handling it, people are being encouraged and God is glorified. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm just telling you that whatever your negative situation, if you handle it right, trust God, you can actually, in that situation, from that negative situation, you can help other people. You can encourage other people. And God will be glorified in it. Just like the Lord opened doors for Paul, God gives each of us opportunities if we recognize them. But too often, we are just focused on our negative circumstance and we don't even see the opportunity that was right before us. And here as a prisoner, Paul had the opportunity to be used in a greater way than ever before. You know, the circumstance you're in might not be your first choice. You say, this isn't what I planned. This isn't what I had envisioned. But oh, how we need to see that God is sovereign and he's still at work. And if you trust him, he'll bring you through. You know, your car breaks down. Your doctor appointment goes 2 hours late. All kinds of things happen to us. But what if God has you in that situation for a reason? What if there's some way that God could use that? So we're going to go back to Acts 23. Acts 23, verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also witness at Rome." Here's what it says. The Lord stood by Paul. You know, God's with us all the time, but sometimes when there's just something special. And it says, the Lord stood by Paul. I want you to know that he will stand by you too. You may not see him with a natural eye, but he has committed himself to us, that he will always be there. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In verse 6, he says, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." See, you don't need to be afraid of what man can do to you. We live in this evil world. Lots of crazy people and people that do all kinds of wrong, and some people are just mean. But I want you to know something, that when God is by your side, you're going to be all right. You don't have to be afraid. You say, well, we don't know what's going to happen with the government. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy. You don't have to be afraid about that stuff. You need to trust the Lord, that the one that's standing by you, he's well able to take care of you. He stands by us. He'll stand by you to comfort you. Here the Apostle Paul was in such a desperate situation, and the Lord stands by him and says, "Be of good cheer." There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name's Jesus. But he stands by us to comfort us, 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And here he writes, God comforts us so we can comfort others. But that night when the Lord stood by him, he comforted him. And I want you to know, when you're going through a difficult time, sometimes it doesn't really help if somebody else who has no idea what you're going through tries to encourage you. I mean, you know, you're raising kids and somebody that doesn't have kids is giving you advice on how to handle the problems you're having with your teenagers. You don't really appreciate that. But did you know that the Lord Jesus knew exactly what Paul was going through? He had stood before the Sanhedrin himself. And just like Paul, he had been called a heretic and a blasphemer. Just like Paul, they wanted to get him. They wanted to kill him. Jesus knew exactly what Paul was going through. He could encourage him and comfort him. But did you know that Jesus also knows exactly what you're going through? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:15 that we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He stands by us to comfort us. He knows exactly what we're going through. He stands by us to strengthen us. When we're in a dark place and there's a great battle, maybe it seems like it's too much for you. You say, "Well, I just can't take this anymore." You need to remember Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He will stand by you and strengthen you. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Realize he'll give you the strength. Listen, that verse is not so you can do whatever you want. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That verse is so you can do what God wants you to do. That verse is so you can fulfill the purpose of God in your life, so that no matter what comes against you, what circumstance you face, you will have the strength to overcome and do what God wanted you to do. He'll stand by you. He'll stand by you to comfort you, to strengthen you. He stands by you to speak to you. And we just finished a series on hearing God, so I'm not going to talk a long time about this, but I just want to say God wants to speak to you. It isn't supposed to be a one-sided relationship. There's always going to be kooks who say every other sentence, "God told me this and God told me that." But I'm just telling you, you as a child of God need to hear from God. And when you're in a dark place and you're going through a difficult time, he will stand by you and just listen. These things are written down to teach us. He will stand by you, and just like he spoke to Paul, he can speak to you. He'll stand by you to speak a word of encouragement to you. He told Paul, "As you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so will you testify of me in Rome." Did you know that that was the best thing that God could have ever said to Paul? That was his heart's desire. That was what he wanted. And God told him, "It's going to happen." Tell you, the Lord will speak to us, not just to fulfill our earthly desires, but he will speak to us to give us a call and a purpose that's bigger than ourselves. He told Paul, "You're going to Rome." Paul was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and to go to Rome was to go to the place where he absolutely could fulfill that call to have the greatest impact on the Gentile world wasn't something that was new to him, but it was an encouragement to him to strengthen his faith. See, when God speaks to you, faith comes. And we talked about this in the Hearing God series, but it's really important for you to know this. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But when it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that is not the word that is used in so many other places that's logos. That is the word rhema. It is a spoken word. It is a fresh word. It is when God speaks to you. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul here. He got a rhema word from God. God told him, be of good cheer. You testified of me in Jerusalem. You're going to do the same in Rome. But he speaks to us to bring faith to our heart, to be able to trust him. Stands by us to speak to us, and he stands by us to sovereignly guide our lives. We're going to go back to Acts 23 and read on from verse 12, and just bear with me if you're one of those that, you know, you're like, preacher, I can't handle all those verses. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here we go. It's a great story. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor kill Paul. Can you imagine? People taking an oath. We're not going to eat or drink until he's dead. Wow. Now, there were more than 40 who formed this conspiracy. 40 guys said, we're going to kill this guy. We won't eat or drink until he's dead. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now, you therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, so though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near. So when Paul's sister's son, that's a nephew, heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring you this young man. He has something to say to you. Then the commander took him by the hand and went aside and asked him privately, what is it that you have to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they're going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, themselves by oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you. So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, tell no one that you have revealed these things to me. Now, I guess these guys that made this vow, they eventually broke it because they didn't ever kill Paul. And I doubt that they starved to death. Do you ever feel like you face opposition? It seems like nothing right now, doesn't it? At your job, maybe the non-Christian acquaintances or friends even. I'm telling you, ministry, anything you try to do for God, there's going to be some kind of opposition. But can you imagine 40 men making a pact, they're going to kill you? And you know, the Lord could have handled that in any way. The Lord could have just blinded them. The Lord could have zapped them all from heaven. But instead, he has Paul's nephew at the right place at the right time. What a coincidence. No, what a sovereign God. And we don't know the age of this nephew. We don't know if he was a young man, a teenager, or even a boy. But God had him at the right place at the right time. In this situation, you see, God can use anybody. God can use your family as he did in this situation. Sometimes he uses a stranger, entertain angels unaware. And sometimes he uses an enemy even. But a sovereign God is able to set things in order to bring about your deliverance and your victory. That's how big he is. And when God says to Paul, be of good cheer, as you've testified of me in Jerusalem, you're going to testify of me in Rome, nobody is going to stop it. Nobody is going to stop the plan and purpose of God in your life. Verse 23 through 25, and he called for two centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers. 200. Now, the very men that are keeping Paul as a prisoner, these Roman soldiers, they're going to be the ones to protect him. Isn't it amazing what God can do? Not just a little bit. They got 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night and provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor. He wrote a letter in the following manner. Listen, God can even use a godless government to accomplish his purpose. But all the things that happened to Paul, being stoned, being beaten, being in prison and in shipwreck, snake bitten, whipped, none of it could stop the plan, the purpose of God in his life. We need to know that the Lord stands by us to sovereignly fulfill his plan and purpose in our life. There may be difficulties and obstacles, schemes of Satan, sent to destroy us. But our God is much bigger. And even if 40 men take a vow to kill you, it's not hard for God. He'll take care of you. See, the Lord used all of those things, all those events in his life, and worked them all together to bring him to Rome, where he ministered even in Caesar's household. Philippians 4:22, it says, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. What joy he must have had as he wrote that letter from Caesar's household. Stands by us to fulfill our destiny, to fulfill the dreams he's put in our heart. He stands by us to bring his purpose to pass in our lives, to make a difference in eternity. And in your difficulty, when you feel like you're stuck, when it's a dark day for you, you need to remember that the Lord will stand by you. He will stand by you to encourage you and strengthen you, to speak to you, to give you purpose, and he'll stand by you to sovereignly deliver you and carry you to that destiny. I want you to stand with me right now. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you love us so much. Lord, that even as you take care of the sparrow, how much more do you take care of us? Help us, Lord, to learn to trust you more, to rest in you and not to fear, not to worry. And Lord, may we just bring glory and honor to you in the way we live our lives, the things that we say, the attitude of our heart. Lord, may you ever be glorified. Father, I just pray that tonight for those that are in a dark place right now and have been down, Father, those that are discouraged, I pray tonight, Father, that that battle would turn. Lord, the battle, the struggle in their spirit. Lord, I pray they be strengthened in the inner man to overcome, and the word of the Lord would truly be a rhema word to bring faith in their heart tonight, and Lord, and put them over in victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, bless you.